with a message from God's Word, here's Charles Stanley.
Do you remember the last time you found yourself facing a very strong, appealing temptation? Something you either really wanted to do, something you wanted badly, or maybe something you knew you should not do, and yet there you were. What did you do? Did you just simply walk away and say no to temptation? Or did you find yourself in debate with yourself, trying to decide, well, what should I do, what should I not do, and begin to rationalize this, and then finally you just decided, this temptation is too strong, and therefore I'm just going to go ahead and yield and just not fret about it. Is that what you did? Well, do you realize what was happening at that moment in your life? You see, if you and I don't realize what's really going on when we face these situations and circumstances, what happens is they just keep on reoccurring, and we keep on responding in the very same way. And that same way is a way of defeat. That's not what you want for your life. It isn't what God wants, and it's not necessary. But if you don't understand what's happening, then you find yourself doing the same thing over and over and over again because you don't realize there's something behind it all. What I want to talk about in this message is simply this, a satanic attack. That is, Satan's attacks upon us. And listen, he does attack us in more ways than one, in many ways. And so what I'd like to do in this message is this. I want us to examine from Scripture his strategy. That is, what is he up to? How does he do this? What causes me to keep on failing and falling and yielding? Why can't I walk away? And I think if you'll understand his strategy, how he works in your life, individually, personally, you'll find yourself being more victorious. So I want you to turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want us to read verses 10 through 12, beginning in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, there's one phrase I want you to notice here. When he says, stand firm against the schemes of the devil, what is he talking about? His tactics, his strategy, that is, his methods of defeating us. Because the things that happen to us don't just happen. There is a strategy. There is a scheme. There is manipulation. There are methods behind what happens to us. When we begin to understand that, then we begin to understand how to respond in the proper fashion and have the strength and the will to do it. So let's begin by simply defining what is a satanic attack. A satanic attack is simply this, a deliberate, willful assault by Satan upon an individual for the purpose of bringing that person harm. Harm in their spirit, harm in their soul, or harm in their body, or all three. It is a willful, determined assault upon a person by Satan in order to bring harm to their body, their soul, their spirit, or all three. Now, what is Satan's objective in this in your life and mine? Well, there are four objectives. Number one, to draw us away from God. That's always one of his objectives. A second one is this, and that is to cause us to be thwarted in God's purpose in our life. That is, he desires to thwart God's purpose, his will and plan for our life. And so what he does is he gets us off track, out of the will of God. A third objective here is simply this, and that is that he would rather deny God of his rightful glory and honor as a result of our living a life of obedience. And the fourth objective is simply to destroy us. So think about it. Here's Satan's attack upon us, to draw us away from God, thwart God's purpose in our life, deny God of his glory and honor and praise that belongs to him, and then ultimately to destroy us. So you and I have an enemy. That enemy is real. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in the devil. Satan loves to hear that. Because if you don't believe in him, you'll never figure out what in the world is going on, why it's going on, or how to conquer this particular issue or area of your life. So when we think about Satan's strategy, I want to think about it in this light. It's very clear from Scripture that whatever Satan is doing is working. Now let's go all the way back from the very beginning. Somebody says, well, How did Satan work in the Old Testament? Look in the very first chapter, second chapter, third chapter of the Bible. God's creation, how he created man, and then all of a sudden, here man is confronted with Satan. And you see exactly how he operated, his strategy, his tactics, how subtle and deceptive he was, what a liar he was, and yet it worked. You go through the Old Testament, you find what? You find Satan using the same old tactics, the same old measures, over and over and over again. Get in the New Testament, what do you find? He's doing the very same thing, using the very same tactics, same kind of deception. Why hasn't he changed? Why should he change? It's been working for hundreds and thousands of years. And the truth is, if you and I are honest, it still works, and it works on us unless we know how to deal with it. So what are his tactics? What are his measures? How does he work all this in such a way that we find ourselves as devoted as we are to Jesus Christ? Once in a while, we find Satan doing what? Slipping up on our blind side. The next thing we know, we've yielded to something in our life that does not belong there. So when you think about that, and I think also the fact that here is Adam and Eve, for example, here they are in the garden, absolute perfect environment. They are sinless. Everything around them is perfect. And what happens? They yield. And that is, God said, don't touch the fruit and don't eat of the fruit. And they did both. And so you say, well, this is a whole different culture today. This is thousands of years later. Does he use the same tactics? Absolutely. And as we go through the scriptures and see what the Bible says, you'll understand, as you look at your own life, recall and think about how you have been defeated at times, exactly what his strategy was and how he defeated you. If you want to be victorious over sin in your life, you want to be able to conquer those things in your life that have harassed you for years and years and years. If you listen carefully, and not just listen, but take some notes. If you don't write this down, I guarantee you he'll steal it from your mind. He is a master at that. Whenever God brings something to your mind and heart that's important, if you don't write it down, I guarantee you, if you're not careful, you're going to lose it for good, because Satan is a stealer of the truth. Because he works in the mind. This is where he works primarily. So when we think about his strategy, I think about the fact that Paul issues us a very strong warning. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for a moment and listen to what he said to the Corinthians. And I want to turn to two or three passages in this book. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now let me say this. If you're a father or a mother, or maybe a single mother, I want to encourage you to jot down what we're talking about today, because your children need it. Listen, they're not going to get it at school. Most of the time they don't go to Sunday school. Who's going to instruct them? Who's going to teach them how to deal with their primary enemy, who is Satan? And we said here is his objective. His objective is to do what? Draw your children away from God, thwart God's purpose in their life very early, deny God of his glory and honors as a result of their obedience, and ultimately to destroy them. And we see it happening all over the place. If you don't instruct your children, you don't guide them, you don't show them what's really happening and how they're to feel and how to respond in temptation, then who's going to train them? And let's face it, most of us adults would have to admit, if you and I were growing up today and we were 13, 16, 18, or 12, or whatever it might be, in this world of absolute passion, sensuality, immorality, violence, lack of truth, compromise, corruption, where would you and I be today if we were growing up in the same age they grew up in? None of us know if we would have survived or not. Very important you teach and train your children with the truth. Now listen, when you think about what Paul said, he was encouraging these Corinthians at first, and then here's what he says in verse 3 of this 11th chapter. He says, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that is by his deception, his clever shrewdness, he says, deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Now look at this. Craftiness, deception, and seduction. That's what these three words mean. Listen, deceived. That is, you're deceived when you're caused to believe or made to believe that something is true, which is not true. Craftiness, that is the shrewd, manipulative way he comes at us. Led astray, to be seduced, to be taken away from what is right. He says, I fear for you, Corinthians, that If you're not careful, if you don't know the truth and exercise it, just like the serpent deceived Eve with his craftiness of your minds, your mind will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That is, he was warning them because he knew exactly what they were facing, and I think all of us have to be warned. Because you see, where does Satan begin his work? Satan always comes to us in temptation in our mind. It's not in our eyes or in our hands or our feet or whatever, our lips or whatever it might be. Those may be instruments, but where does it begin? It begins in your mind, what you think. And so as a result of the way we think, our feet or our actions or our hands or our eyes are going to follow. Always begins in the mind. Because in our mind we remember. In our mind we acknowledge, we have knowledge, we understand with our mind. We make decisions based on what we're thinking. So therefore, Satan knows that his playground, his battleground in your life and mine is in our mind. That's Satan's battleground. This is where he works. And while we may look at other parts of our body and say, well, this is important, that's important, I'll do this, that, and the other, the issue is right here. How do I think? If I think there is no devil, let me just remind you of this. If there were no devil, do you think Paul would have said, as the serpent deceived Eve? That says to me that certainly Paul believed the scripture as we have it today in Genesis chapter 3. If he did not believe there was a devil, then you can't believe Paul. If Jesus didn't, in other words, if there is no devil, what was Jesus talking about when he was talking about being tempted by Satan? So the truth is there is a devil. He loves for people not to believe in him. Because listen, the enemy always wants to be camouflaged and covered. The enemy always wants to walk in the shadows unseen, unnoticed, and undetected. We have an enemy. We're in a warfare. We talk about wars all over the globe. We talk about wars in Europe and South America and this, that, and the other, and so forth, and all kind of skirmishes and terrorists and so forth. You know what? Every single one of us faces a war every day. We war with Satan. Most people don't even realize what's going on because they think this is just life and this is the way life is. And so everybody's tempted and everybody's tried, and so everybody fails, and as cultures move and change and ideas change, then we all just sort of find ourselves, no, that's not the way it is. We have a specific enemy who is very specific in the way he approaches you and me. Our mind is his battleground. And it's very important that you and I understand that, because that is part of the way he operates. So he said to them, be careful. He said, I'm afraid here's what's going to happen. Just as he worked on Eve and defeated her, he's going to work on you the same way, with his craftiness, his deception, and his seduction. Now, I want you to turn back, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 for a moment. Look, if you will, in verses 4 and 5, because again, he brings up this whole issue of warfare and deception, and what we have to deal with when we face temptation over and over and over again. Here's what he says in verse 4 of chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare, which simply says we are in war and we do have weapons, are not of the flesh, that is of ourself, but divinely powerful. That is, our weapons against Satan are divinely powerful. It's the supernatural power of God working within us. He says, for the destruction of fortresses, that is strongholds. Now, what does he mean by that? That if, watch this carefully, if Satan can tempt you and cause you to be defeated in a specific area, he's going to come back to that area over and over and over again, which says if he can set up a stronghold in your life, it may be a toehold to begin with, a foothold, and then a stronghold. Here's what he's going to do. When he wants to get at you, he's coming back at the same place. This is why we find ourselves sometimes in an area of our life that is an area of weakness, and we think, well, why does Satan come at me at this point, and why is it I fail in this same situation every time? Why? Because Satan has found a toehold, he established a foothold, and now a stronghold, and he knows that in certain situations, we're going to talk about in a moment, certain times, at a certain time in your life, at a moment when he wants to get to you, he knows exactly where to go to. And so he says here, the weapons of our warfare, not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations. Listen to this. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We're taking these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. He says, you and I are responsible, listen, for taking control of our thinking. Because our thinking is where Satan has, that's the battleground between us and the devil. And so therefore we have to control our thinking. We have to deal with our thinking. We have to bring these thoughts under the control of our Lord Jesus Christ, taking every thought captive to what? Captive to the obedience of Christ. When our thinking goes astray, what happens? We're headed for trouble. Satan knows exactly how to get us thinking the wrong thing in order to get us to do what? To do the very wrong thing. So here's a second warning that he gives us here that we need to take note of. Then I want you to notice also, for example, that he warns us back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at that for a moment. Sometimes we wonder why people act the way they act. Why do people do what they do? We look at people who are not Christians and people who profess no Christianity, no Christ, no Bible, no religion, nothing. We say, well, why do they act the way they do? Well, here's the answer right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, listen to what he says. He says in verse 3 that if our gospel is veiled, that is hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, that is those who are lost, they don't understand it. In whose case, speaking of the lost, the god of this world, who is Satan, has blinded the what? The minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Do you know how Satan keeps the unbeliever in their unbelief? Do you know how he causes people to do things that you and I, to us, are absolutely ridiculous? And we think, how in anybody, could anybody in their right mind think about wrecking and ruining their life in that way? Why? I'll tell you why. Because he's blinded their minds. Well, how does he do that? I'm going to show you in a few moments. We talk about the specific acts of strategy which he utilizes in a person's life. It is very well designed. Listen, it is designed to defeat us. He keeps the unbeliever in their unbelief by blinding their minds to the truth of the gospel. The devil hates the word of God. Oftentimes the unbeliever hates the word of God. And oftentimes the believer struggles with the word of God, because God's word is here to keep us clean and pure and holy and righteous before him. And Satan will do anything in the world he can to get you to doubt this book, to doubt his existence, and to cause you to be blinded to the truth. As long as you're blind to the truth, you're not going to walk in it. Jesus said, what is it that sets a man or woman free? He says, it is the truth that sets us free. If Satan can blind your mind to the truth, he has you captive. And this is the reason that people can be so adamant against Christianity and so adamant against Christians and against the church and against the Bible. Why? Because Satan has them blinded. If you and I were blinded from the truth, no matter who we are, it would be interesting to know what we would think and how we would be responding and how we would act. The truth of the Word of God is the light of the gospel shining in the heart of a person. Doing what? Revealing to them who God is, what they're like, their need of Christ, and what the cross is all about. As long as the devil can keep you blind to that, as long as he can convince you that there is no such thing as a Satan, a devil, as long as he can convince you that everybody's going to be all right, that there's a loving God in heaven, everybody's going to get there one way or the other, that's just one way and we're all going to be there, all religions are the same, all are equal, all this, all that, all lies. That's the way Satan operates. Why? It all sounds good, but it's all untrue. So, when you look at how he operates, very important, very interesting, because it isn't something that just happens, it is something so very well planned. Every temptation is presented to the mind. Every single one. All begins right here. That's why he says we must bring our thoughts captive. That is, we must control the way we think. Now, if you're an unbeliever, you've got to do it in your own strength, and sometimes you can't, probably most of the time you can't. You can control some things you think. But when it comes to strong temptation, your tendency is going to rationalize your behavior to the point that you can say, it's okay, you say, everybody does it, it's a new culture, it's a new day, the Bible's antiquated, you can think all kind of things, all of which indicate the blindness of your mind and heart to the truth. But that's the way Satan, that's the way he operates. And so we have to guard our thinking. Now, let's analyze this whole issue of his strategy. What is, when we think about it, what is Satan's strategy? Because these things don't just happen, well, suddenly I fell into temptation here, or I'm tested over here, tried over here. There's a very clear design. And if you are wise, you will not listen to this message without writing down what I'm about to tell you. Because listen, you're going to be defeated. He's a master at it, and I'm going to show you. He's a master at it. He knows exactly how to defeat us. He defeated Adam and Eve in a perfect garden. He defeated Abraham. You can just go all the way through. David, you go through the scriptures. The saints of God defeated them one after the other, over and over and over again. We will live in defeat if we don't understand Satan's strategy and his objective to destroy us. That's what he wants to destroy us. And listen, if you're saved, he can't destroy you, but he can certainly destroy your testimony, your witness, and your usefulness for God. That's why you have to be very careful in the life that we live and the environment in which we live. So what is his strategy? Well, the first thing is this. Very simple, but very, very important. That is, he directs our attention to a specific need or desire. There's some things that Satan is not going to tempt you with because he knows that you have no desire and no need in that area. But he knows what our needs are, what our desires are. Somebody says, well, is Satan omniscient? No, he's not. He doesn't know everything, but he knows just enough. You say, well, how does he learn about me? All Satan has to do is watch how you live. And so he knows our weaknesses, and he knows that there are times in our life when we are weaker than others, and he knows the area of our weakness. So how does he tempt? That is, something very specific, usually a need or desire. And let's look, for example, at two examples here. And let's take Eve, first of all. You remember what he said to her? He said, Eve, that tree in the midst of the garden, the one that you can know what God's like. In fact, you'll sort of be equal to God. That is, you'll know the same knowledge that he knows, the difference between good and evil. Now, Eve had three natural, God-given desires. A desire for beauty, which it must have been one of the most beautiful trees. A desire for knowledge, to be like God. And certainly a natural appetite, whatever this fruit was, to satisfy her physical appetites. All of us have the same. We have a desire for beauty. We love things that satisfy, or we like, or we are pleased with things that satisfy us physically, whatever we may eat. Then we have a desire for knowledge. And that desire for knowledge can get you in deep trouble. Somebody says, well, I'll be able to help other people if I experience everything. Oh, listen, that's one of Satan's big lies. He's a big liar. And if you think in order to help other people, you have to experience all the sin there is in life, you're totally mistaken, misled, and deceived already. So he goes after something specific. Now watch what he does. This is very careful. What Satan does is to get us to want something that we want in order to give us something that he wants us to have. Which, of course, oftentimes, once we get it, we wish we'd never had it. He will lead you and tempt you with something that you need, or something sometimes you think you need. And what he's after is to get you to have what you want in order to give you what he wants you to have, remembering his objectives, draw you away from God, toward God's purpose, deny God his glory, and ultimately destroy you. That's the way he operates. And here's what he does. Think about this. He will get you to focusing on something you don't have. And you know what that does? He knows if he can get you focused on something you don't have, you won't think about all the things you do have. Now you think about this for a moment. How often, this is the way Satan tempts us. He gets us to, he brings us to the point of bracketing out everything else around us and pinpointing one particular desire or need we have. And what happens? We get so caught up in that need, so desirous of that, such a strong feeling about that, we forget all the wonderful things that God has around us that he's provided. But you know what? That's his strategy. Narrow your thinking. Pinpoint your thinking. Your need, your desire at this moment. What do you feel like you desire at this moment? What do you think you just absolutely must have right now? And what you'll notice also, he's always in the now business. Satan's not always in the future business. He's always in the now business. You know why? Because he doesn't want you thinking about future consequences. Under no condition. Just think about what you want now. What do you need now? What do you desire now? Forget tomorrow. Forget next month. For next year. Forget the consequences. He covers those well. He never brings those up. He never says to an alcoholic who gets in their automobile, you know what? You could have an accident, killed somebody else. innocent people, isn't bringing that up. Drink till you're full. And you could take every single sin. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that Satan's warning people about future consequences of today's actions and thoughts. That's the way he operates. And he always, listen, he narrows it down because what he wants us to do, he wants us directed toward what? Toward one single need, one single desire that we have, so that what happens is we forget the rest. So with Eve, he said, you want to be like God? Well, think about this. That's a pretty fantastic question. If somebody asked me, would I like to be like God? Would I like to have the same knowledge God has? Yes. Well, what would it cost you? What did he say to Jesus? Here's Jesus been fasting 40 days and had nothing to eat, and he was hungry and tired. What does Satan say to him? He says, bread. First thing he said to him, why? Because he was hungry. There was a need. There was a desire. And here's what Satan does. He takes those specific needs and desires, so manipulates our thinking that we think we have to have it and have to have it then, and he tempts us, listen, to misuse our God-given gifts, our God-given opportunities in such a way to satisfy ourselves at the expense of the will of God's purpose and plan for our life. It's the way he operates. And you look, think back in your life. What does Satan tempt you with most often? And isn't it something that has to do with some need you feel? Some desire that you have in your life? That's the way he operated on Jesus. That's the way he operates continually. Now, second strategy I want you to jot down is this. And that is that Satan chooses his time. There are times when you and I are the most vulnerable to satanic attacks. There are times when it won't work. There are times when it will work. Satan knows when you and I are the most vulnerable to sin. He knows those moments when you and I are the most likely to say yes. He knows those times when we will begin to rationalize and legitimize what we're about to do. He knows those times when we wouldn't, when we stand firm and strong. He knows those times it's best not to attack us because that's not the right time. Isn't it strange how he does it? Sometimes it is after you have had some awesome spiritual experience. You've been with the Lord, or you've been to church, you've been in a revival meeting, and God's done some awesome work in your life, and you're praising the Lord, and what happens is you're prone to let down a little bit. He's going to sneak up on your blind side. Listen, you can be on your knees. You think Satan's 5,000 miles away because you're praying? I guarantee you he's right there. He'll do anything in his power to get your mind off what you're doing. Because his goal is to defeat you, to destroy you ultimately, thwart God's purpose in your life, deny God his glory. He knows exactly the right timing. So, do you remember that word I've given you over and over again? And let's see how many of you remember it. And because somebody's always bringing up, I meet people everywhere. In the airport, you mentioned, they'll say, you remember that word you gave us? So let's see how many of you remember. What's the word? Halt. How do you spell halt? H-A-L-T. So you don't get to H what? Hungry. You don't let yourself get to A angry. You don't let yourself get to L lonely. And you don't let yourself get to T tired. You say, well, now what's that got to do with temptation? Well, just think about it. When you get too hungry, you feel weak. How does that weakness affect you? It's amazing. It affects different people different ways. Don't get too angry. If you have any smarts at all, you will not make a decision when you're angry. 99.9% of the time, it's going to be a wrong decision, making out of the wrong motive. So watch out when you get angry. Don't get too lonely. You get lonely, what happens? You start looking or thinking or imagining or whatever it might be. You don't get too tired. Why? Because when you get weary, physically weary, you are more vulnerable when you're tired, when you're lonely, when you're angry, and when you're hungry. He knows exactly when to hit us. And I think about people, for example, who live alone. And oftentimes they come home in the afternoon or the evening or whatever it might be, and there they are all alone. One of the things you should be wise enough not to do is to sit down and watch some program on the television that has to do with people who are trying to satisfy their emptiness, their flesh, and their loneliness with somebody else. All that will do is create something within you. Satan knows, listen, if he can get you looking at, thinking about, or trying to manipulate some circumstance in your life, he's going to defeat you. Listen, this is a very smart tactic on his part. Because you see, in any warfare, timing is very important. And one of the interesting things about studying warfare is that you'll discover that sometimes so much would hinge on just a matter of a few hours or an hour, or sometimes minutes and sometimes seconds. Satan knows when you're at your lowest moment. He knows when you're the strongest. He knows when not to hit you. He knows exactly when to attack you. And what you have to ask is, do I know those moments? Do you know those weakest moments in your life? You say, well, how will I find out? Well, take a little inventory of your life, for example. As you think about when you're the most temptable in some situation in your life, ask yourself this question. When I get in that position, what's going on around me? What's my environment like? Is it when I have not eaten for a while? Or is it that when I'm angry because I've been mistreated or criticized or gossiped about? Is it when I'm just feeling lonely? You may not even be alone, but you can feel lonely in a crowd. Is that when he hits you the strongest? Or just when you are physically tired and weary? Watch this. You can serve the Lord God with all of your heart. And one of the dangers every pastor and every person who serves God has to watch out for is this. Just simply because you serve the Lord doesn't mean that you're immune to Satan's attacks. The more effective you are, the more obedient you are, the holier your walk before God, I guarantee you, Satan mounts his most vicious attacks because he wants to bring you down. He wants to divert God's purpose and plan for your life, whatever he can do. So Satan's timing is very important to him. It's very important to us. We need to look at our lives and see, what should I avoid? What should I be careful about? What's the environment in which I am the most susceptible to a satanic defeat? And whatever it is, it needs to be corrected. And you see, nobody else can correct it but you. But you need to examine that. And you may sit here and listen to this message and say, well, I'll think about it. I'm telling you, you're going to get defeated. You're going to get whipped because you're dealing with a master, listen, a master technician when it comes to defeating God's people and the unbeliever. He's got thousands of years of experience. And history will prove the greatest of men and women and the greatest of God's servants. No one is immune to satanic attacks. No one. And if you ignore the fact that timing is very important, you're going to be defeated. There's the third aspect of his strategy, and that's this. To create doubt in your mind. One of his primary tools is to create doubt. If he can create doubt in your mind, he's on his way to defeating you. Now, you say, well, I believe the Word of God. I don't think Satan could get me to doubt God's Word. You know what? Watch this carefully now. Remember we said that he's cunning and crafty? He's not going to say to you, don't believe the Word of God. Here's what he's going to say. This is how crafty and how successful he is. He's going to tempt you with something, and he's going to say the same thing to you, or you're going to sense this in your spirit. He said to Eve. Now, is that really what that means? Is that really what that means? Because I've talked to so many people down through the years, and they'll ask me, well, what about this? I say, well, do you want to know what God says? I say, yes, what God says. Well, now, I know what he says. I know exactly the next word's coming. What's the next word? But. But now, there are different opinions. You know who's got one? Satan's got one. He has a different opinion. It's not a matter that you and I are naturally or necessarily so dead set that we can't change our mind about anything. That's not the issue. The issue is this. What does God say? When God says, thou shalt not, what can I add to that? How can I rationalize that thou shalt not? If Satan can get you to doubt one truth of the Word of God to the point that you are willing to manipulate some interpretation of it in order to rationalize your conduct. If he can get you to do that in one area of your life, I'm telling you, you are on a slippery path for a long time. For the simple reason, listen, if he can get you to misinterpret, if he can get you to rationalize a passage of scripture that has to do with something in your life that you know that God's dealing with you about it, it's an area of weakness in your life, some sin that keeps cropping up, and finally you get so tired you say, I'm going to look at the Word of God for myself. I'm not going to listen to pastors and preachers and all these folks. I'm going to find out for myself. So I can tell you exactly what you do, because here's what Satan will lead you to do. Satan will lead you to go to some other passage and see if you can't find some other passage that gives you a little bit of leeway. And then he will say to you, well, after all, this is a different culture. This book was written thousands of years ago. This is a different culture. Times are different these days. Things have changed. Things are not the same. And therefore, you don't have to really translate it that way or interpret it that way. Listen carefully. If he can get you to deliberately, willfully misinterpret any principle of the Word of God, just one, you know what? He knows that the misinterpretation, the disobedience and rationalization about the second principle in his word is coming soon because you've already opened the door to doubt and unbelief. Very important you understand that. And this is what causes people who've been Christians and who've lived a godly life, and they get tempted, and finally Satan gets a hold of them, and if he can get them to just rationalize that one verse or that one passage or that one theme or that one doctrine, that one idea, and legitimize their disobedience, legitimizing the second disobedience is easier, and the third one is easier, and the next thing you know, you're on your way to defeat, and here's the problem. Satan has blinded your eyes to the truth. Listen, he's blinded your eyes to the truth of what you're doing. You are doing what you would have sworn before you would never do, and that's rationalize the truth of the Word of God. You cannot afford to do that. You know one of the areas which he wants you to doubt? Well, the primary thing he wants you to doubt is the Word of God. And this is why liberal theology is an attack upon the Word of God. Well, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, that's all symbolic. The book of the Revelation is not real. That's all a bunch of symbolic stuff. You can't practice that in the 21st century. Is that right? Why do you think God gave us this book? He gave us and protected this book because it is our instruction book for living. In fact, the first 11 chapters of Genesis are so full of rich, marvelous, wonderful truth. Naturally, Satan wants us to doubt it. You come to the book of the Revelation, you know why Satan hates that book? I'll tell you why. Because it tells us graphically where he's going to end up eternally in hell. That's why he hates it. So what does he do? You don't believe all that stuff. I'm telling you, my friend, with all of my heart, you start manipulating, misinterpreting deliberately the Word of God, and you are in for some awesome, awesome pain and suffering in your life. One of the areas he likes people and desires people to doubt is their salvation. Here's what he says. He says, now, you mean to tell me that you're a Christian? You think you're saved if you can do something like that? Well, you know what? Maybe I'm not saved, because saved people just don't do those kind of things. May I inform you that saved people do all kind of things that are absolutely, totally disobedient. God didn't say we would be perfect, and he's provided forgiveness for us. But listen, forgiveness doesn't mean that I finally get to the place I misinterpret the Word of God to the point that I rationalize my disobedience. We acknowledge our sinfulness. That's why he told us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's grace has provided for our disobedience. But listen, my continued disobedience in any particular area is going to bring down the heavy hand of God's discipline. You don't want that in your life. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never become a Christian, you've never been born again, you've never been saved by the grace of God, friend, your life is in jeopardy. Your whole eternal future is in jeopardy.
And Satan in all of his cunningness, all he wants you to do is doubt the Word of God. Well, you don't have to believe what all those Christians say. Besides that, they don't all agree. And if Satan can get you to doubt your salvation, I'll tell you, some of the most pitiful people I know are people who've been saved by the grace of God, and Satan gets them to doubt their salvation. And I've sat with people over and over and over again. Here's what happens. They'll say, well, Pastor, I've really begun to doubt my salvation. Oh, well, okay, let's talk about it. So tell me, have you ever been saved? You're absolutely sure that you've been saved by the grace of God? Yes. Well, tell me exactly what happened. And oftentimes, they will give me a very scriptural view of how they made a decision to trust Christ as their Savior, trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross for His forgiveness of sin, saying the right thing, having done the right thing. Then my response to them is, you know what? That's what I did. I got saved the same way you did. I'm still saved. On what basis you not saved? Well, you know what? I'm afraid I committed unpardonable sin. Well, what's that? They can't tell you what it is. Usually it's adultery or murder or something like that. Well, what caused you to be lost? Well, you know what? God just can't forgive you. I can give them all kind of scriptures. You know what, they come back? But you know, I just don't feel. You know why they don't feel it? Because salvation has nothing to do with feeling. Salvation has to do with a decision. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will get you to doubt your salvation. Listen, if he can get you to doubt your salvation, you are useless. Who can you witness to with conviction? Nobody. How can you serve God with any sense of conscience if you think you're lost? How can you pray if you think you're lost? How can you trust God if you think he's not listening and you're lost? He can get you to doubt your salvation. He's got you headed in the wrong direction, and the devil is happy and you're miserable. One of the areas in which he wants to attack and cause you to doubt is this. Now look how legitimate this is. When I think about how smart Satan is, here's what Satan says. Satan says, you don't have to be baptized. Well, look at all those Christians. They can't even make up their minds how to do it. They anoint, they sprinkle, they immerse. Why, they pour on. Why, you know what? If it were legitimate and necessary, why, they'd all do it one way. You don't have to do that. If Satan can get you to doubt the importance of it when Jesus said it is very important, somebody says, you know what? I don't have to belong to a church. There's nothing that says in the Bible I have to belong to a church, though the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some do. The church is the body of Christ. You say, well, it's just an organization. It's more than an organization. Listen, it is a living organism, a spiritual organism. Well, I don't have to belong to a church. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You go ahead and choose not to belong to a church, not to be baptized, and see what happens in your life. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. You're going to have questions and doubts. You're not going to have any real true insight into the Word of God. Things are not going to go right. You're not going to have a sense of peace and joy and contentment because you're living in disobedience to God because you have believed Satan's lie. And that's exactly how Jesus described him. Jesus described him, he said he's a liar and the father of lies. So naturally, if he can get you to doubt the Word of God, doubt your salvation, doubt different aspects of your life, for example, he can get you to doubt and think, well, you know what? I'm no use to anybody. Who in the world am I? What difference does it make? I don't count. And Satan says, look at you. Who do you think you are? Why do you think you're important? Who do you think loves you? Why do you think anybody would want to love you? What do you think you can do? Who do you think you are trying to serve God? You've got to remember that the environment in which you hear that is a satanic attack upon you as a person. Your personhood, your present, your future, and God's plans for your life. He's doing his best to do what? Draw you away from God, toward God's purpose in your life, deprive God of his glory, and ultimately destroy you. That's part of his strategy. And if you're not aware of that, you get into these feelings, you will think, well, God, what in the world's going on in my life? Well, the fourth one is this. Now watch this carefully. This is one of Satan's tactics in his strategy, and that is to get you in debate. Now, what happened with Eve? He comes to Eve and he says, did God say, creating doubt? Did God say that you can't eat of this fruit? What did he say to Jesus? If you're the Son of God, trying to create doubt. So what's happening? What's happening is simply this. He wants to engage you in conversation. And here's what he will do. He will distort the truth. The last thing you want to do is to debate with the devil. Because you know what? You can't win. The only person who wins that battle is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get in a debate with the devil. For example, if you find yourself facing some temptation, don't start talking about it. Say, well, now, I got to think about this. But what is it you need to think about, thou shalt not? What do I need to think about that? And so Satan says, well, but there are different views. I'm telling you, you can't defeat the devil in debate. So you say, well, if I don't debate with him, then what do I do? Here's what you do. It's real simple. You say, it is written. You say, this is the word of God. Anything beyond that in your conversation with the devil, you're going to lose. He's a master debater. Listen, look at all these words that Paul uses here. He uses such word as crafty. He uses such word as deception, destroyer, liar. And when I think about this, you think about this, how in the world can anybody debate with someone and expect to win when Jesus said this about him? He said this about Satan. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer. Speaking to the Pharisees, they were giving him a hard time. He says, you're just like him. He says, Satan was a murderer. Stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And let me ask you a question. How do you think you're going to win a debate with the person who is the father of all lies, who is a master deceiver, cunning and shrewd, and so successful down through the years? How in the world do you think you're going to debate and win a battle with him? You cannot. And sometimes I'll be talking to someone and they'll tell me their view about something, and it'll be so clear to me what's going on in their life. And I'll say, well, do you want to know what God thinks? What God says, not what I think, what does God say? Well, yes, I do want to know what God says. Here's what God says, and I can still hear it. Well, I do believe that, but. And you know what happens? Satan's got you in debate. Well, that's not the only thing it means. Well, there are exceptions to that. Well, this is a different day. This is a different society. This is a different culture. All these things are different, and so therefore, do not debate with the devil. Here's what you do. When you attempted, here's what you do. What does God say about this? You say, well, yeah, there's some situations that God hadn't spoken to. Name me one. Just one. Now, there may not be a single verse of scripture that says thou shalt not about everything, but the principle is there. The principle is there. God's not going to give us an incomplete book. You can't face any situation or circumstances which God will not give you wisdom to do the right thing and show you what the right thing is all about. So one of those tactics is get you in debate, and if he can, he will destroy you. Another one of his tactics is deception. Now, we've said a lot about it already. But deception is his style. Deception, in essence, is this, to get you to believe something that appears to be true when it's not true. To get you to believe something is true when it's not true. To get you to believe something is true when it is a lie. This is the way he operates. He said to Eve, you will not surely die. That's not really the way it's going to be. And this is the reason people wreck and ruin their lives. They believe Satan's lies. He says he's the father of lies. He is a murderer. He's been a liar from the very beginning. And the scripture says in Revelation chapter 12, for example, the last book of the Bible speaks of this very thing in the 12th chapter. Listen to what he says. He says, speaking of Satan and his effect and his power and his deception around the world, he says in verse 9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Listen, that is a master part of his tactics, to deceive us. You say, well, how can I keep from being deceived? The only way you're going to keep from being deceived is to know the truth. How are you going to know the truth? The Word of God. How are you going to know the Word of God? Time. Spending the Word of God. Meditating upon the Word of God. Listening to messages. Lay out, listen, the principles based upon the Word of God and then applying them to your heart. If you don't know the truth, you're going to be deceived. And you think about, we can look around us today in which we live. There are nations of people who are deceived by false religions. There are people who are deceived by the millions and millions and millions, believing that what they've been taught is right. When you and I know that according to God's Word, it is not right, it is a violation of one principle after the other. But Satan is a deceiver, very deceptive. And you know what? He wins that way. If he can get you to believe a lie, then you're defeated. That's part of his strategy. That's just the way he operates. So you cannot expect to debate with him and come up with the truth, because anyone who's the father of lies is not going to tell you the truth. And this is one of the most subtle parts of his deception. Now watch this. Here's what he says. Don't worry about all that. What is it that you really want? What is it that you desire? Isn't this a need in your life? One of his clever tactics in his deception is, don't think about the future. So what does he do? He covers the future consequences of what's going on. He just wants you to think about today, now, satisfaction, indulgence, enjoyment, flesh, you name it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. It sure will. It'll destroy you. You have to remember that. He majors on present moment. He camouflages, covers, and overshadows the future. He doesn't want you thinking about possible future consequences. Because if you do, you'll start backing off and thinking, wait a minute, where is this going to lead me? What path is this going to lead me down? You see, one thing he doesn't want you to ask when you're tempted is this. If I move in that path, where is it going to ultimately lead me? He doesn't want you asking that question. That's why he blocks your mind to today. Present need, present desire. Because if you look down the path, now watch this, listen carefully. If you and I could see down these paths of our life, the way God sees them all the way to the end, you and I would never choose to walk the path of deception and sin that ends in destruction of all different aspects of our life. But he's a master at that, to deceive, to lie, to cover, so that we'll not ask what the consequences are. You see, the reason lost people living in a lost condition, and many of them have heard the Word of God, and you may be one of those persons. You've heard the Word of God. You've heard what Jesus says about heaven and hell. You've heard what he says about, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or enter into it. You've heard all of that. You've seen all of that. So what does Satan do? He said, don't worry about that. Besides, if you want to get saved one of these days before you die, you'll have time. That's what he says, which is a lie. It isn't always true. Listen, don't think about heaven and hell. Man, listen, this is today. Don't be one of those Christians out there talking about going to heaven when you die and the glory of God and all that stuff. What's today? You know why he covers the future? Because every single one of us has one. And we're going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. Whether you believe it or not, has no effect upon the truth whatsoever. The issue is, are you going to believe the deception of Satan? Because he doesn't want you thinking about the future, only the present. And that can have consequences beyond your fondest imagination. For good, when you're trusting God, because he's got great things for the future. Detrimental if you're living disobedient to him. Another one of those tactics exists. He creates division. Now you think about this. What was his purpose in the garden? To pull Adam and Eve, God's first two created beings, away from the Father. To divide them. To separate them from God. And he succeeded. What happened in their first family? Cain and Abel. He divided them. What's been happening down through the centuries, dividing people? You look at all the people who live divorced lives, separated, what happened? Satan divided that marriage. Satan got into somebody's life, or both people's lives, or whatever it might be. He divided them. He tore them apart. This is why so many people are living in hurt and pain and suffering. He divides. He divides marriages. He divides parents from children. He divides sisters and brothers from each other. He divides employees from each other, employees, employers. And one of the worst things he does, he divides churches. Satan loves to divide a church. You know why? Because he has wholesale victory. Because so many hundreds and sometimes thousands of people's lives can be affected by it. And the unbelieving world says they can't even get along. Well, I don't want to join one of those organizations. Satan loves to divide the church. And that's why the unity of the body is so very important. And that our love for each other, our care for each other, our understanding of each other, our building up of each other, our encouraging one another is so very important. Because Satan is a divider. And down through the centuries, and look at, we live in a world that's divided. We live in a divided world. Why? Because Satan is behind it. This group, he's deceived this group to believing this and this group to believing that, and they fight each other and kill each other and war with each other. What do you have when it's all over? Bloodshed and the loss of life and pain and suffering and hurt, separation, and nothing good. There's one other tactic he has, and this really is his ultimate, and that is to destroy. You say, well, now I know a lot of people who are not Christians, who are just happy as they can be and have peace and contentment. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know a lot of people who put on the big front. You know a lot of people who have some sense of satisfaction in life and some sense of happiness in life. Here's what Satan does. He destroys your peace, your joy, your happiness, your contentment. And you see, what happens is he creates greater desire to cause you to sin. He creates want in your life. He creates all kinds of menus for you to try in order to do what? To ultimately bring you to destruction. Satan's ultimate goal, listen, is to draw you away from God, destroy us, cheat God, deprive God of the glory and honor that all of us need to give to Him and desire for Him, to destroy the kingdom of God. Now the problem is this, Satan knows he is a defeated foe. He knows he's going to spend eternity in hell. So therefore, listen, he can't take a single one of God's children with him. So what does he do? He tries to destroy our witness and our testimony and cause us to be useless and miserable in our Christian life. He knows that he ultimately is had it. He's had it for all eternity. What he's trying to do is to destroy everything he possibly can that can bring glory and honor to God, including you and me. These are his tactics. And you know what? He's using every single one of them against every single one of us. And when you understand what the tactics are, and you begin to understand what he's up to and how he approaches you, once you understand that and begin to listen, to become sensitive to your environment, what's going on when you feel these things, you're going to be able to live in a greater sense of victory than ever before. Now you say, well, how do I do that? Well, let me just say two things. Number one, I don't have time in this message to explain that. I could give you two or three little points. That's not the issue. It takes more than that. So I want to encourage you, do not miss the next message. And I'm going to talk about how to survive a satanic attack. It's not a question if you're going to be attacked. Absolutely certain that you will be. How do we survive them? How do we walk through them? How do we come through victorious? And so I want to encourage you not to miss this next message. Because there is a way for God's people to live victoriously in a wicked, vile, sinful, sensual, sexual world that does its best to reach into the hearts and minds of children and adults alike to destroy us in the eyes of God. Do not miss it. But let me simply say this to you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, friend, you're having to do it alone. You're having to live your life apart from His help and strength and guidance and knowledge in your life. God will change your life. He'll give you a victory to walk you've never had before, a sense of confidence and assurance that no matter what he throws at you, you will be able to survive, you will be able to bring honor to God, And he will not be able to destroy your peace, your joy, your contentment, and the wonderful assurance God has given you as one of his children. And so I want to encourage you to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Just tell him, Lord, I've blown it. I've been trying to do it myself. I keep falling. I keep sinning, God, in the same old place. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing the same old thing, which I know is not right. And you know what? The loving ear of God will hear you. And he'll answer you. He'll forgive your sin. And he will cleanse your heart. And he will come into your life in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and enable you to understand truth and to walk godly before him. That's his goal for your life if you let him do it. And Father, how grateful we are for your love for us. In spite of all these things you have to face in life, when we respond in the right way, you take them all, turn them for our good, no matter how difficult it is. You promise that and you do it. So we just ask today that the Holy Spirit will seal this message as it sinks deep into the heart of every single hearer in order to accomplish your purpose of deliverance, liberation, freedom to those who are in bondage. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley, speaker on the In Touch television and radio broadcasts. To order additional copies of this message, or for a catalog listing available video and audio copies of other messages by Dr. Stanley, call toll-free 1-800-323-3747 or place an order online when you visit our website at intouch.org. If you prefer to write for more information, our mailing address is In Touch, Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. If outside the USA, please contact your local In Touch office. This has been a production of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.